Lord. I bet you guys all thought that there's not very many people, so it's going to be a really short word. Nah, I don't care if there's not very many people. I can preach to one person 2 hours, just like I can preach to a whole big group, praise the Lord. I'm going to ask my father if he'd come up. We're not going to get to have worship tonight because John is not feeling well. So let's remember John in our prayers. He had a vaccine today, and he is struggling with that. Let's remember to keep him in our prayers. But, Dad, would you just come up? And we're just going to take a few minutes and pray. We're not praying over the service. We're just praying over our lives, praying over what God wants to have done or what God wants to do. Let's just take a moment. Everybody, let's just stand up. If I'm going to be uncomfortable, why shouldn't you? I'm joking. But let's just take a few minutes and let's just pray. This will be our worship tonight. Just a few minutes of prayer. Praise your name. Holy to you, Jesus.
There I am also. So we know God is here tonight. I know because I brought him with me.
Here.
Are you happy?
Here.
I don't need that.
Yes, you do, because people are listening out there in airwaves.
But God is good.
Amen.
He's not just good, but God is wonderful.
Amen.
God is the miracle maker. God can do all things. All things are possible to him that believe. Where's your faith tonight?
Amen, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, God, we just praise your holy name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that anointing that rests upon us, Jesus. Father, that anointing that you said would walk with us, go with us, be in us, O God. I ask you, Lord, to let it rain upon your people tonight, O God. I ask you, Lord, to anoint Janine as she speaks unto us tonight, Jesus. Let your word go forth, O God, unto those in need, O God. And may every need be met, O God, by thy Holy Spirit, Jesus. For, Lord, nothing is impossible, Lord Jesus, because we believe in you, God, knowing that you can do anything and all things, Jesus. Father, we just worship you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. God, go out to every need, Jesus, every need represented, O God. Father, give rest to the weary bodies, Jesus. Give peace to those that are troubled, O God. And let your love and joy abound within the hearts and lives of each of us, Father. And we'll give you praise. We'll give you glory, honor forever in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Well, praise your name. Let's just go with me into the Word. We're going to just jump right in tonight. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. It was about a month ago. I don't remember now exactly what I was doing, but there was just chaos. I was probably just in the house trying to teach school. And there was just chaos going on all around me. And I thought, oh, God, Lord, there's just chaos. Everything is just in chaos. What do I do? What do I do? And the Lord began to speak to me about the chaos. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 2. And the word says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The word without form, if you look it up in the Bible dictionary, it says desert, worthless thing, vain, confusion, empty place, nothing but waste or vanity. And if you look up the word void, it said to be empty, undistinguishable, ruin, and emptiness. And the word darkness was misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, darkness, and obscurity. Well, all of those things describe chaos. All of those words could be used to describe chaos. Come on in, sister. Good to see you. If you look in Genesis chapter 1 in the Tree of Life version, Because when the Lord spoke the word chaos to me, I'm like, Lord, I don't think I've read that in the Bible. I don't think I've read the word chaos anywhere in the Bible. This is crazy. Chaos. So the Lord had me search different Bible versions. And we found the Tree of Life version. And this is, listen to this, what the Tree of Life version says. It says, now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep. And the Ruach Elohim was hovering upon the surface of the water. Chaos. Before God created anything, chaos ruled. Where there was no light, chaos existed. Now, if you look up chaos, it says the utter state of confusion or disorder, a total lack of organization. Anything out of order can be chaos. Or the infinity of space, the formlessness matter supposed to have preceded the existence of the ordered universe. So those two verses, the first verse that we read in Genesis in the NIV or the King, that was the King James Version, it was talking about chaos. And when we use the other words, darkness, void, empty, it was still talking about chaos. And then if you go on to look in Genesis verse 1-3, it said, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. So he distinguished the light from the darkness. Do you know what? When Jesus comes into your life, he brings distinguishing abilities. We can distinguish, once we know Christ, the light from the darkness. Before Jesus, we're just living in chaos. We don't know what's going on. Everything is out of order. Everything is crazy. Have you ever? I have felt that way. I have felt that way with Jesus in my life. But before Jesus, all that exists is chaos. Whether you understand it, whether you know it or not, that is what is. Darkness, chaos, disorder, emptiness, vanity. Hallelujah. And everything else that goes along with that. But the word says, then God said, let there be light. Now, the word tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. And if we read further in Genesis, or in the Bible, it also tells us that Jesus was there at the very beginning. Everything that was created because Jesus created it.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
He was right there with God. It was a work of teamwork. It was a work of unity. So when Jesus comes in to our lives, he comes in to drive out the chaos and bring life. But how many times, even though we know Jesus, I know Jesus, nobody in this world can love him more than I love him. It's not possible. And yet, I am still at times dealing with chaos in my own heart, in my mind, in my flesh. And I have to remember. And so this was a time. Remember I told you beginning, there was this point, it was just chaos. And I'm like, Lord, this is chaos. I don't know what to do. That you called us back from Mexico. You said there was a purpose. You said you had a plan. And I still don't know a plan. I'm still waiting on that plan, Lord. Every day I wait. Every day I think, oh, maybe today's the day that plan is going to just be laid out before me. Still no plan. And don't take me wrong. I love what I'm doing. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. Every minute I spend with them is priceless. But me, personally, I like to have a plan. Last Christmas, I was here for the first time in 19 years. The Christmas before that, that would be year 2019, right? This is 21, yeah, 2019 in Mexico. By January 15th, I had next Christmas dinner's menu planned. Right, yeah. By Christmas, I had next year's Thanksgiving menu planned. I mean, like the grocery list almost made, planned. The guest list has been halfway completed. You may think I'm joking, but if you ask my mother, she will tell you. I drive her crazy with how far in advance I want to start getting a plan going on. And I've got no plan now, though. And for me, that is utter chaos. I live with an agenda all the time. I don't have a phone. Everybody else has a phone attached. I don't have a phone. I have an agenda. I can't call anybody, but I've got it all organized. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I know when I'm going. Except for right now. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Jesus is good in us. We can trust Him to be good. We can trust Him to be faithful. We can trust Him to be true. And if He said He's got a plan, we can trust that He has a plan. Now I have to speak to the chaos and say, hey, be at peace. Jesus got a plan. I have to speak to my flesh and say, hey, back off. Jesus has a plan. But it's not in the agenda. If it's not in the agenda, it's not a plan. Hey. God doesn't use my agenda. He's got His own agenda, His own purposes, His own plans, and now I just have to relax into it. I don't think I've got there yet. I don't think I have just relaxed into this not having a plan. You can probably ask my family, and they will tell you, oh, no, nope, she's not relaxed into this. But the Lord is trying to get me there. It is a work in progress. Remember the last couple of times I spoke, I've been talking about there's a process going on here. And I was crying last night to the Lord. I was up, I don't know, until 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was crying to Him. I'm like, Lord, hello, there's chaos. And the Lord again said, speak light. Speak life into the chaos.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to just relax and be okay that I don't have a bigger plan. And the Lord told me, it's okay. I've got you. Oh, hallelujah. Vamos. That was cute, right? Let's go to Genesis chapter 32 with me. I'm not going to read this. I'm going to just talk to you a little bit first about what happens. In Genesis chapter 32, we read about Jacob wrestling with God. Let's talk about Jacob. You know, until the Lord began showing me just for this message, I thought Jacob was a pretty cool dude. I thought he had it together. I was really wrong. I hadn't really paid attention, apparently, to what I was reading. But Jacob was an envious man. Jacob struggled in his flesh. He was envious. Hallelujah. He coveted what wasn't his. He coveted the birthright of his brother. And he was envious that his brother had that birthright and it wasn't his. Thus creating chaos in his own life. By his own choices. By the things he did. In Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34, we learn that Jacob literally stole his brother's inheritance. Oh, he didn't really steal it. Esau gave it away. Okay, yeah, let me explain something. When I went through menopause, there were changes that took place in me. Now, before that, I could fast. It didn't bother me to fast. I didn't get grouchy when I got hungry. It didn't bother me. It was just hunger. No big deal, right? After menopause, they call me hangry at my house. When I now reach that empty, low place where that blood sugar drops, I used to tease everybody that my husband, when his blood sugar got low, we would throw him a bone and lock him in a room and go back in 2 hours. Now that's me. You better get out of my way when I get hangry. Don't talk to me. Don't try to reason with me, because it's not possible. Because I don't hear anything. That never happened to me before. So now imagine Esau out in the wilderness, right? He's been out there for Lord only knows how long, and he comes back starving. And what happens? The first thing he does is he smells Esau's stew cooking. I walked in church. I walked home, walked in the door from church one day. I'd invited some guests over to dinner. And I had the forethought to know that church was going to be a long day, and I ordered pizza. And I had it so that the pizza would arrive at a certain time, and the boys were all at the house, and they would get the pizza. And we'd come home, and there was going to be pizza. Like, you know, pizza that I like pepperoni pizza, or the Italian pizza, not the Mexican pizza with chorizo and beans. I don't like beans on my pizza. And I get home, and I'm starving. And I walk in the house, praise the Lord. And do you know what pizza's gone? The Italian pizza and half the pepperoni pizza. Do you know what I did? I lost it. Right over pizza. This is when we discovered that Mama goes hangry. I didn't know it until this moment. I walk in the door, and I'm so excited because I've got company. We're going to eat some pizza together. I am so excited. And I open that pizza box expecting to, and it was, I open that box, I'm like, where's my pizza? I open up the other box, where's the good pizza? And my son comes running from the other room. He goes, what? The pizza's right there. What pizza? There's frijoles in my pizza. That's not my pizza. And my son goes, Mom, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. I brought company home to dinner. I'm very okay. Notice how high my voice gets. And I'm looking at the boys, and I'm looking at them, and I'm going, you ate all the pizza. You didn't buy that pizza. I bought that pizza. You didn't order that pizza. I ordered that pizza, and it's gone. Where's my pizza? And my son's like, Mom, it's just pizza. It's not just pizza. It's dinner. And my son tows me to the other end of the kitchen, and he's like, Mom, I think you're hangry. I don't get hangry. What do you mean I'm hangry? He's like, Mom, did you notice you're yelling in front of company? I never yell in front of company. And it dawned on me. I turned and looked. We got company, and I'm screaming over pizza. I can imagine Esau. I can imagine him coming home. And all he can smell is that wonderful, savory stew. And he goes to his brother and says, hey, let me have some stew. Man, I'm starving. I've been out there for so long, and I got nothing. And Jacob, in all his kindness, says, sure, give me your birthright. Just like that. No thinking at all necessary. He's had this plan. He knew one day. He probably knew it that day when he got up and started making that stew. He was counting on Esau coming back hungry, and there being nothing in his hands, and he was going to want to eat. I'll bet he did. And Esau's like, what do I want a birthright for? I'm dying here. Feed me. Shoo. And there went his birthright. There it went. Just right out the door, because he was hangry. In my hangry moment, you would not have recognized me as having a birthright. You would not have recognized me as a child of God. I didn't recognize me. I was embarrassed for weeks. I had to apologize and apologize, not just to my son or my other two sons, my Mexican sons. I had to apologize to everybody. And so like that, he stole his brother's and his birthright. And then a little farther down in the chapter, he lied to his father, and he stole the blessing that went with that inheritance, that went with that birthright. And he went so far in Genesis chapter 27, verse 8, it tells us he went so far to steal that birthright that he dressed in his brother's clothes. He covered his arms with hairy skins so that his blind father wouldn't know it was the wrong son. Wow. And then after all this chaos that Jacob created, he ran away so his brother couldn't kill him. He knew he wronged his brother, and he ran from it. Have we ever done that? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever wronged somebody? You knew you wronged them, and you didn't care, and then you just ran from it. I don't have to deal with this. I'm just leaving. Do we not do that all the time? I was a professional runner. I didn't want to deal with anything. I didn't want to deal with any issue anywhere. I just ran. I changed churches. It was easier to go to a new church and be obscure and just sit in the back than to deal with something at church. And I ran. Thank God Pastor Bruce loved me anyway. And thank God that he took us back, praise the Lord. So here it is, 20 years later. This is where we're at. Remember I said to go to Genesis, where is that at? Genesis 32. Now here we are, 20 years later. Jacob is again in the middle of chaos. You see a pattern here? Chaos again where Jacob is at. So behind him, he's got his father-in-law. Things weren't good there. He had to leave. That was just chaos. Not a good place. He can't go back. And in front of him, now he learns that Esau is coming to meet him. Whoa, what chaos do you think that could be? Now he finds himself in this place of chaos again. It seemed to follow Jacob wherever he went. But remember, before he ran away, he created chaos. He lied. He stole. He deceived. And then he ran, thinking we can get away from these things in our life, right? But chaos just follows you. It just makes more chaos. When you sow darkness, when you sow seeds of wrongdoing, when you sow seeds of anger, of bitterness, of pride, of envy, lying, stealing, deceiving, what do you think you're about to reap? Jacob thought he was marrying the woman he loved. He got the sister. He thought the father would just swap him out. He had to work for the one he didn't want 7 years. Then if he wanted his wife, he had to work another 7 before he could have her. 7 years he had to live with another woman. 7 years the woman who loved him had to watch him living with her sister, knowing she couldn't have him yet. Wow. What chaos would that living situation be? That would be horrible. So now he finds himself in chaos. Did he create it? Absolutely. Did he sow into it? Absolutely. Does chaos only come because we sowed it? No. Sometimes the enemy brings chaos. Sometimes chaos is just there because it exists. Now he's now a rich man. But he can't go backwards and he can't go forward. He's stuck right where he's at. Angry father-in-law behind him. A brother that wanted to kill him in front of him. But Jacob had a plan. Let's go to verse Genesis. Turn with me to Genesis 32, verse 22. It says, later that night, he woke up quickly. He took his 2 wives, his 2 women servants, and his 11 children and forded the river at Jabbok. He took them across the river along with all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and he struggled with a man until daybreak. What a better time to struggle with God than when you're alone. Sometimes we have to get alone, and we have to talk to the Lord, and sometimes it's a struggle. Have any of you ever fought with God? I have absolutely fought with God. I have absolutely told him, no, 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 Lord, I don't want that. No, Lord, I'm not doing this. No, 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 Lord, I don't do this. Nope, Lord, no, not this. Oh, Father, not this. But sometimes we need that quiet time with the Lord because he needs to wake something up in us. Jacob was at the moment of receiving his inheritance from God, receiving his blessing from the Lord. And Jacob needed to talk with God. They needed to work a few things out. Because Jacob couldn't receive the inheritance from the Lord that he had if he continued to sow chaos everywhere he went. God's people, we are called to be a pillar. We are called to be a light in the darkness. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be the representation, the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And if everywhere we go, if all we're doing is sowing chaos and breeding chaos, we're not representing Jesus. We are representing the darkness.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Come on.
How many of us who are called children of God sow chaos by our actions, by our words? Jacob knew the God of his father. Jacob knew who Isaac served. And yet he hadn't made those choices for himself yet. On his way to go to his mother's people, he had an encounter with God. He had a moment with God. And God never forgot that moment. And so here he was, alone in this place with God. And Jacob and God wrestled. Jacob's vision had to be changed. His understanding had to been changed. Have you ever believed something that wasn't true? Right? All the time. Do you know that we can lie to ourselves and convince ourselves of something being good and true and right, and it's absolutely not? We can. Have you ever known somebody that can do that? I have. They can tell the same story, and I don't recognize it. I was there. But it's so different that I don't even know that story. So Jacob and God's alone, and they're working some things out. God is showing Jacob all about what truth is, what he had done. He didn't need to steal Esau's blessing or inheritance, because God always intended to bless Jacob. The day of his birth, God said, the older will serve the younger. He's going to carry the blessing and the inheritance. But Jacob didn't wait. God didn't need Jacob to sow into that. He didn't need Jacob to fix it. Have you ever wanted to fix something for God? All the time. I have even given him suggestions on how he could do something better for me. Is that not horrific vanity? Right? And what is vain? Vain is chaos. I sowed chaos because I thought me could understand and give God some tips on how to do it better. I don't even really know what better is. How could I think of anything better than God? How could you and I make a better plan than what God has? Jacob didn't need to meddle. God had the perfect plan already. And all he did was sow chaos into his own life, and he paid double for it. He didn't work 7 years for one wife. He worked 14 for two. I think he really only just wanted the one. Have you ever done that to yourself? You ended up paying double for something? Oh, yeah, me too. So it says in verse 25, when the man realized that he hadn't yet won the struggle, he injured the sock-up of Jacob's thigh, dislocating it as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go because the dawn has come. What is the dawn? Light. The light had come. Jacob finally understood it. He finally got it. He finally understood what he had done wrong. He finally understood that God had a plan, and he needed to get on board with God's plan and not make his own plan. Do you know how hard that is for the planners? I've often said in Mexico, I've often said to people, I'm going to make my plans, and then when God shows me, I'll just change it to fit his plan. But I'm going to make a plan. I can't live without a plan. Do you know what I'm doing right now? I am living without a plan. God heard me when I said, I can't live without a plan, Lord. And he literally put me in a situation where I got no plan. I have no way to execute the little tiny beginning of a plan I've got. God doesn't need my help. He's got it if I'd trust him. And here the man said, the dawn has come. The light had come into Jacob's heart. He now understood exactly who God was. He saw the truth. He knew the truth. You know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? So Jesus is the truth we need to understand. And everywhere Jesus goes, he is light. He is life. We need to sow Jesus. We need to sow lightness. We need to sow life into the chaos. We need to speak life and light into the chaos, just like Jesus did. Amen. And Jacob said to the Lord, that was horrible. Sorry. Not just a few people thought, but possibly the possibility of hundreds. Awesome. Awesome. Oh, praise God. Only these moments happen to me and my mother. I get it all from her. It's her fault. So, hallelujah. So, Jacob responded to the man, I won't let you go unless you bless me. Jacob suddenly understood and knew the blessing that he needed was not his father's. It was God. And he wasn't willing to let go until God blessed him. He knew who he had been wrestling with. He knew when the light came, what it was going on. And he wouldn't let go until he got that blessing from God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Proverbs 13:10. Proverbs 13:10. The word says, where there is strife, or shall we say chaos, disorder, and confusion, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Where there is strife. Strife is like friction. Do you have friction going on in your life? I can tell you something. If you've got friction going on in your life, you've got pride going on in your life. I know it. Don't you hate that? I wasn't happy when the Lord brought this verse in. That wasn't in my plan. If you have strife in your life, it's because there's pride. Wow. Powerful, isn't it? Because how often have we thought, Lord, there's no pride left in me. I've got nowhere to live. I mean, I do. I have a wonderful house. But I mean, I've got nothing to call my own. So I should be like worry-free, right? And yet somehow pride has risen up in there. I was telling my daughter today, we've got these things sitting in a storage unit. And the storage unit out here in Washington isn't like the storage unit in California. Things in this storage unit is getting damp and cold and wet, and it's going to mold. And it's driving me crazy. I have been nagging my husband, let's move that stuff. I'm ready to move that stuff. I want to move that stuff. I want to do it now. And I told my daughter today, I said, you know, I don't know why I am suddenly attached to these things. It shouldn't be bothering me. It's just material things. Who cares? I can throw my clothes in my car and nothing else matters. God's got me. I've got a beautiful place to stay. I'm with my children. I'm with my grandchildren every day. Who can say that? I have so many things to be grateful for and to be happy about. I love communal living. I do. I have lived with people for... oh, I don't know, ever since I had kids. Hasn't stopped. And I love it. The more, the merrier has always been my motto. Gosh, why have 20 people to Thanksgiving when we can have 63? Right? I know. Ann and I are talking. I'm thinking next year we rent a hall and we just invite the whole church and everybody and we just have Thanksgiving together after this year. Right? 100. Why go 63 if we can go 100? And I'm like, yeah. Why not? Everybody else looks at me like, you're crazy. Hey, we'll do paper plates. We don't have to do dishes. Disposable everything. Just throw it away and we're done.
Yeah.
Right? The more the merrier. So why am I stressing about some stuff sitting in a storage unit? Why is that bothering me? Because pride's got involved somehow that I didn't even know was there. What do I care? I am where I... Do you know how long I have longed to be with my daughter and my grandchildren and my son and my granddaughter? Forever. I can't even count the nights in Mexico I cried to be with them. Of course, I thought they were all coming to Mexico, but hey, we're all together. That's all that matters, right? And here I am stressing about the little things. I have an opportunity to know my son-in-law, who is a good man. Not just in a little visit here and there, but know him, his everyday him. I have an opportunity to sow love into him. Why would I not want to do that? And I do. There isn't anything I want more than to be right where I'm at, doing right what I'm doing. So why stress? Why allow chaos to rise up? Because pride gets involved. Then strife comes and chaos rises. Hallelujah. Because where there is strife, there is pride. That verse hurt. You know, when I was younger, you used to read a proverb a day. That means, you know, in 31 days, you've read all the proverbs. And I did that for years and years, over and over and over again. This is not the first time I have read that verse. This is the first verse that verse rose up and slapped me in the face. Huh, strife. Pride. I got pride going on. And it was hiding under hurt feelings or misunderstandings or my own emotions because I've got chaos going on. Oh, because I got pride still. Praise the Lord. So Jacob was envious. He coveted. He lied. He cheated all to get what he wanted. And now we can add to this list pride. He is a man that also reaped what he sowed. Laban, his father-in-law, lied to him, cheated him, robbed him. Does that sound familiar? Is that not all that Jacob did before he ran there? And then you wonder when you've sowed these things, and then you wonder when you're eating it, what did I do? How did I get here? Why is this happening? Have you ever said that? Don't admit it. Don't admit it. Save yourself. Don't admit it. I have. I absolutely have. But eventually he came to a place of reckoning. He came to a moment of revelation and understanding, a place of choosing who he was going to truly serve, himself or God, the God of his father. Who are you going to serve? I mean, when it really, really, really comes down to it, who do you want to serve? I want to serve God. I don't want to serve me. I am not worth serving. I know me. I know me. And unfortunately, some of you probably do too. I want to serve God. I want everything I do to be about Him. I want every word that comes out of my mouth to speak light and shatter the chaos. Even when chaos is a swirling vortex all around me, I want to speak light and life into it and shatter it. And I can. And I can. Hallelujah. In the beginning of Jacob's journey when he ran, he had a dream from the Lord. And in that place, he said to God, he made a vow to God. In Genesis 28:20, Jacob said this. Genesis, go with me to Genesis 28:20. Jacob said this. We're almost there. There we go. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and give me bread to eat and remnant to put on so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Look at that. That is what he said to God at the place where God visited him, where he had a vision of the angels coming and going to the earth. Jacob's ladder. Remember the story?
Yes, yes.
He made this vow to God. Now he goes. He became a rich man, a man with two wives, blessed that he was, many children, many animals, many flocks. He became a rich man, even in a place where chaos surrounded him. Every time his father-in-law saw that he was getting blessed greater, he changed the deal. And then Jacob would get blessed in the new deal. So he'd change it again. God's blessing was upon him even in those days. Even though he was running, God's hand was over Jacob. And God did not remember that. God did not forget that vow. And now, here Jacob is at the place of reckoning, at the place of choosing, and he has to make good on his vow. Have you accepted Jesus? Do you know you have an inheritance? You have a destiny, a purpose in the Lord? You have to also come to a place of reckoning. You have to come to a place of choosing where you're not going to do it your way anymore, where you're going to choose God's way and let him lead you. Even if you don't understand, even if you can't make your plan, you're going to trust him.
Yes,
are you there yet?
Yes.
Because that's where it always has to lead to. Because if it doesn't lead there, we just stay trusting ourselves. Have you ever met that person that their way is the only way that exists? Their way is the only way that's good, the only one that works. They have to have a reckoning. They haven't had that reckoning yet. Because really the only way that works is God's way. When I do things my way, it doesn't work out. But when I trust the Lord and I follow his plan, it always works out. To be really honest, when the Lord told us it was time to come back to Washington, I thought he was crazy. That's it, just crazy. And I said to the Lord, and how are you going to do this? I said, I am not even taking that on me because I already know I can't do it. I don't have a savings account. Every little penny that comes in that's not used for direct living, it is sown into ministry. I've got no savings account. I got ministry. In my life, that does not equal savings account. That equals ministry all the time. I didn't have $10 to come back on. I told the Lord, Lord, I can't do this. I am not even going to try to work up a plan for this. You're going to have to do it yourself. A year before we came home, the Lord gave me a word from someone in this church, who I will not name names, that the Lord had spoke to them. It was time for us to come home. I said, well, I'll receive that word, but when God's really serious about it, he'll make a way for me to come home. Because I can't do it on my own. I can't pay for it. I can't fund it. I can't. Everything we have goes into ministry. Never in my imagination would a year later would we be coming back. Never imagined that in a lifetime. And do you know what? God funded it all. COVID coughed up a little bit of stimulus. A new beginning, generously and above expectation, brought us home. Not something that worked in my power. Not something I could lay my hands on. But do you know who could? The Lord. He made a way where there was no way. Because it's what he does. Now here was Jacob in this place. In John 12, verse 46. John 12, verse 46. The word tells us that I am the light. I come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. We are not to live in chaos. We are not to live in the dark. We are children of the light. The living light lives inside of us. And that light should be so bright and shining everywhere we go. Light happens.
Amen.
Life happens.
Glory.
Things that were dead come to life. Things that were in the dark suddenly shine and grow up under the light of Jesus. You know, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. What are you thinking in your heart? Are you filled with fear? Are you filled with doubt? Are you filled with worry? Are you filled with envy? Are you filled with jealousy? Because if those are the things in your heart, you are that already. But you can have a day of reckoning. You can choose to be something else. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be this big, long, drawn out thing. It is a simple thing. Jesus, I need you. I can't do this. I need you. I need you. In all that that is, and in every possible way, I need you. And he'll come. His light will fill you. Hallelujah. His presence will fill you. Now, when Jacob had this encounter, this wrestling match with the Lord, suddenly his thinking changed. He saw things differently. How he acted and how he began to live changed. He had to stop focusing on the chaos, and he had to speak life and light into the chaos and not become consumed by it, but consume the chaos with light. It says God spoke into the chaos and there was light. And he saw that the light was good. Hallelujah. Now in Genesis chapter 32 verse 27 says, and the man asked, what is your name? And Jacob answered him, and Jacob said to him, he said Jacob, and the man answered, listen to this, and the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Because you have struggled with God and humans and have overcome. In his struggle with the Lord, he became an overcomer because he came into the light.
Amen.
He understood. He had revelation. Yes. And he understood. And he got the most important blessing he can have. He got the blessing of the Lord. How many of you have heard that song, The Blessing, by Carrie Job? We sing it sometimes here. My grandson can sing it just by saying it. We listen to it so much, and I still can't remember it. But it goes, may his blessing be upon you. And your children, and their children, and their children. May he turn his face to you, and may his favor shine on you. Something like that. I know I'm getting it wrong, and I'm not going to sing it to you. You're welcome. But that song, the first time I heard it, I thought, oh, that's a cool song. The second time I heard it, I thought, oh, wow, that's a little bit more than just words. The third time I heard it, I ended up on my knees. I want that blessing. And you know we have it. Because if it's in the Word, if it's in the Word, it's yours. It's for you. It's for you. And you can have it. That same blessing that Jacob had is your blessing. His blessing that he will be upon your coming and your going, your rising and your laying down. His hand will be upon your family, your children and their children, your flocks, your goats, your herds. It's all yours. It's all yours if you believe the Word. And I love that. The promise came when Jacob understood what God was speaking. When Jacob came to the moment of going to live up to his promise and his vow to the Lord, the blessing came. His name changed. His ways changed. Everything about him changed. And this is how, look at this. Genesis chapter 33. Hallelujah. Chapter 33, verses 1 through 11. Turn with me, please. Hallelujah. It says, Jacob, now he's at that place where he wrestled with the Lord. And it says, Jacob looked up and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. And he put the female servants and their children in front of Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. And he himself, listen to this, I love this. And he himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. He knew. He understood what he had done and what was wrong, and his actions completely changed. He now ran to his brother Esau and threw himself on his knees before his brother. Do you know what is significant about getting on your knees before the king or before someone? That meant you were presenting to them your neck, that they could take your life. As he got down on his knees and he bowed before his brother, he was telling him, my life is yours. He was owning up to what he had done. He was seeing what he had done and he was saying, okay, brother, my life is yours. Every time we kneel before the Lord, and the Word asks us and tells us to kneel before the Lord, because in this position, we are saying the same thing. Do you know why yoga is so bad? Because every position is a position of prostrating before a different God. That's scary. But when we get on our knees like this and we bow our heads down before the Lord, we are saying to him, I am yours. My life is yours. And Jacob meant it. He bowed before his brother. And it said, Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. They wept. Esau, who knows why, but he had already forgiven Jacob. But Jacob's actions had so changed. He didn't swagger up and say, hey, I'm a rich man all on my own now, brother. You can keep your inheritance. He didn't swagger up to him and say, hey, you have to serve me. I got the inheritance. I got the blessing. You got nothing. No. Hallelujah. And he saw all those people and all those flocks and herds. And Esau said, what's the meaning of all these flocks and herds that I met? And Jacob said, to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. Look at the change. He went from lying, stealing, and deceiving and running away from it to bowing down before him and saying, my Lord. A term of endearment, a term of respect, a term of surrender. And he was surrendering. And he offered to his brother great wealth and herds. He took herds and animals and he offered them to his brother. And he said, brother, here, these are for you. Take these. I've brought these to offer these to you. And his brother said, nah, I don't need it. And Jacob insisted, no, you have to take them. There has to be recompense for what I did. Let me pay you. Let me make things right between us. And so Esau accepted what he didn't need. Look at the change in Jacob. Oh, praise the Lord. Would that we could all come to that change. We have to choose who we're going to serve. And if we're going to serve God, we have to stop sowing into the chaos. We need to speak life and light into the chaos. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's one more Bible verse I think I missed. Maybe I didn't. There's a verse in the Bible, I don't need to read it. There's a verse in the Bible that says, hallelujah, that says that we can do everything that Christ did and more. Hallelujah. Jesus was talking to his disciples. Everything I have done, you can do. Because the God who lives in me lives in you. And even greater things. Are we doing greater things? Well, there you go. On a day-to-day basis, are we doing greater things? Are we seeing greater things? We should be. We need to be. Even if it's just in our own homes, in our own relationships, in our own marriages, in our own families. My son joined the Army not too very long ago. He's gone right now. He's in South Carolina. I got it right. Woo, praise the Lord. And he's having trouble with the running. He's got very, very flat feet. And so he runs wrong on his, I think it's his right foot. And it has caused, it caused his knee to have some knee issues, and his knee was swelling up. And they gave him orthotics to get it figured out. And then he was running. They were running uphill, and he heard this crack. And somehow he got a stress fracture of some kind. And he's in the military, and I've been praying, Lord, I've been praying for, I don't know, a week. We found out last Sunday, so not quite a week. We've only been praying a few days. Lord, you've got to touch that knee. You've got to heal that knee. You've got to bring the swelling down. You've got to touch him, Lord. This is a big thing. This is something he wants to do. You've got to make a way where there is no way. Only you can do this. And then this happens. And, the Army, they don't want someone sick. You know, they want really bottled, able, strong men, and they put them through their paces, and you do it or you go. And so now we were praying today, Lord, no, in the name of Jesus, give him favor, give him favor, give him favor, give him favor. And I started praying this when I found this out this morning. Lord, give him favor, give him favor, give him favor. We got a call this afternoon from his recruiter to tell his wife they are keeping him with the stress fracture. They are giving him time to heal. And if it heals and he can run, they're keeping him. He is, what did they say? They said he wants to be there. He's enthusiastic to be there. He really wants this. And so we're going to give him an opportunity. Pray with me. God has already started something. They haven't just turned him out. Pray with me that God heals that knee. My prayer is stronger than ever. And he can run like he's flying. God does these things. God is a God of miracles. We should all be seeing miracles every day.
Yes. Come on.
Because God is a God of miracles, and this God, he lives in you. Yes. He lives in you. Do you have chaos in your life? Speak life into the chaos. Speak light into the chaos. Call the chaos out in the name of Jesus. Chaos, you cannot stay. I had myself a little breakdown today.
No.
I did. I was crying. And the Lord said, speak light into the chaos. Lord, I can't. I don't even know what to do anymore. And I cried for a good little while. I was, okay, I'm just done making a plan, Lord. I'm just done. And the Lord's like, yay. Right? Because he doesn't need my planning. And I got up and I thought, okay, Lord, we can do this. My daughter put my favorite song on for me. It really helps me. The Waymaker. I love that song. I learned it in Spanish before I learned it in English. And I used to, there was a couple of months where there was a lot of chaos going on in our world. And I'd wake up every morning singing that song in Spanish. Singing that song. And I thought, Lord, what is that? I just have this one little phrase, siempre estás obrando, and every morning I'd wake up singing that, and I'm like, Lord, what is it? I know what the words say, but where did I hear this song? Where is this song from? What are you saying to me? And so I got up and I looked up siempre estás obrando, always working, Waymaker, and I found the song. I began to play that song. Scott was in Washington at this time, as a matter of fact, and he was very ill. And I'd go to bed at night, and I'd put that song on in my room, and I'd just listen to that playing, and I'd just lay there and raise my hands. You're always working. You're always working. You're always working. Even when I can't see it, even when I can't feel it, you are working. You are working. You are moving in this place. Hallelujah. And that song brought healing to my life and to my heart and brought order to the chaos. You know, if we worship in the midst of chaos. So my daughter puts this song on. I'm having a little mini breakdown and she puts this song on and I can't break down anymore. I can't. And suddenly breakdown turns to worship. Now I'm in the shower and I'm listening and I'm worshiping and I'm saying, Lord, okay, your plan is good. Whatever it is, it's good. I don't have to know it. Your plan is good because you are always working for me. You are always working for my life. You are always working your purposes, even if I can't see it, even if I can't hear it. You are working your purposes and I trust you. Praise the Lord. We can speak light into the chaos and it has to break. We can speak life into the chaos. If you've got chaos going on in your world, and who doesn't, right? For the whole last year, anything that went wrong in the house, anything that dropped, anything that fell, and always in a house full of children and 11 people, you know, something's always falling. My daughter-in-law go, 2020, man, 2020. That's all you got to say. You can blame everything that goes wrong on 2020, the year COVID hit, 2020. So it became this big joke, you know, drops it up, 2020, that's it, that's all I got to say, 2020. What an awesome excuse. But now we can just say, hey, light into the chaos. We don't have to blame it on 2010. We can just say in the name of Jesus. Whew, Jesus has it. Jesus has it. Jesus has it. Whatever chaos is going into your life, you just begin to speak life into it. If it's financial, you just begin to say, I am not poor. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He will supply my every need, and I can trust Him. And if you are afraid, you can say, I shall not fear, for the Lord goes before me. He covers me with His feathers. He is my high tower that I can run into and be saved. He is with me. If you're sick, you can say, for every stripe He took on His back, it was for my healing, and you can't take it from me. You can't have it because it was paid for with my name on it, and it's mine. Hallelujah. We can speak light into the chaos, and we can know that it is good because God spoke light into the chaos, and He sent Jesus to the earth that was chaos. Without Him, the world was falling apart. They had turned from the Lord, and it was horrible things was going on. And He sent Jesus down into that to live, that we might have a Savior. Oh, stand with me to your feet tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here that wants prayer tonight, we're always, always hoping, anxious, and willing to pray for people. Preaching is a lot harder. Prayer is much easier. Praise the Lord. If you're out there and you're not here and you're watching us, if you have a need, hallelujah, speak light and life over that need because God is always working. He is working in your favor. He is working on your behalf. His favor is over you. He is for you. That is so powerful. He is for you. He is for you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. We just worship you tonight, oh God. Lord, we praise your name, and I just thank you that you are for me. I thank you that you don't need my planning skills. I thank you, Lord, that your plans are for me, that your plans are for your purposes over me, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, that you spoke light into the chaos and produced life. And Lord, now we just turn and we just speak life into the chaos, that life might also be birthed out of the chaos. Lord, you know what's going on in your body. You know what's going on in every every person here, every person watching. You know their needs, Lord, whether it's financial, emotional, spiritual, physical. Lord, you know their need, and I ask you to minister to their needs tonight. I ask you to supply their every need. I ask you, Lord, to put your hand over them. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your love, Lord Jesus. Let them know that you are for them, O God, and that you are working for them, O God, that your purposes are for them, Lord Jesus. Lift your people up. Call your people to the day of reckoning, O God, and open our eyes to you, Lord, that we might turn from causing and sowing chaos and begin to sow light and begin to sow life, Father, for your name, Lord God, because we are your people. Oh, Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, because we fall so short of you. We fall so short of you, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to rise up strong before you, Jesus. Help us to walk in your footsteps. Help us to humble ourselves, Lord, before you, before one another. Help us, Lord, to lift up each other and not tear down, oh God. Minister to your people. Minister to your body. Use us for your glory and for your purposes, oh Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, there is none like you. Lord, you are so marvelous. You are so wonderful. There is none like you, and we just praise your holy name. We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, ahead of time. We thank you now for meeting the needs of tomorrow. We thank you now, Father, for opening the doors for tomorrow, oh God. We thank you now for causing the sun to rise upon your people, Lord. We thank you now for your love filling the hearts of your people like never before. Lord, we thank you now, precious Jesus, for a moving of your Spirit and your presence like we've never witnessed before, oh God. We thank you now. We thank you for your love that sustains us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, now. We praise your holy name. We thank you. We call you Savior. Oh, thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming and joining us tonight. Thank you for sitting here and listening to me. Thank you for being here. If you have any special thing that you'd like prayer about, we're always here and willing to pray. If not, if you don't have a need, well, praise the Lord. Be blessed. Be blessed as you go. Be safe as you drive. Be careful. Speak life. Let's speak life, brothers and sisters. Let's speak life. In the name of Jesus, thank you and good night.